Dude, so a month or two ago, I watched this movie called Captain Fantastic. Have you heard about this movie?
No.
It's a good movie.
Netflix?
Not yet. It's kind of a new release. This guy raises his kids in the wilderness, and he homeschools them and stuff.
Bro, I just saw it 2 days ago.
You did see the movie?
Yeah.
It's got a weird name.
Big Blue Bus?
Yeah. Okay, so there's this scene in the movie where the daughter is reading Lolita, which is a book that has a lot of adult themes. And you might think like a dad would be like, daughter, don't read that book, you know, like, and get right. afraid of it. But instead, the guy asks the girl what she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're not supposed to read that book. She's like, oh, I'm jumping ahead. And he's like, well, what do you think about it? And she replies, it's interesting.
Mm.
And at that point, the whole bus, like the rest of the kids on the bus, like they erupt and like, oh, that's an illegal word. You're not allowed to say interesting. And the dad goes, he agrees. And he says, yeah, interesting is a non-word.
Yeah. Okay.
Be specific.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
In the next moments, she describes the plot, and then he catches her again. And he says, you know, he doesn't let her get away with just
regurgitating.
Regurgitating. He says, that's the plot. That wasn't the question.
Yeah.
You know, like, tell me about the book.
Yeah.
And then the girl really has to like dig in and figure out how she feels about what she's reading.
Mm-hmm.
The book that she's reading is quite controversial. Mm-hmm. It's this man that falls in love with a teenage girl, a 12-year-old girl, really.
Yeah.
So I kind of like loved that moment.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Like really loved it because of the way that he, that whole kind of family culture approached the idea of outlawing this one word that we as a culture use as a throwaway word that means a lot of things, which are kind of around the neighborhood of, oh, I don't really care too much to think about this.
Yeah.
Right.
It kind of goes along with the knee-jerk response when someone says, how are you? Good.
And then, yeah, fine. How are you? Good. How are you?
That's a non-answer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A guy asked me, how are you? And I said, and every time people ask me, I think they're asking. I don't think they bargain for my answer ever. Right? I think I'm trading my peers. They don't think they all know. Now, and this guy asked me, how are you? And then they look at me weird because I'm in deep thought to give them a unique answer, right?
Yeah.
And then I told this guy, I said, I'm excited and hopeful for the present future or the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
I've made some big life changes. And if you care to know, we can talk about them. Big life changes recently. Nothing like drug addictions or anything like that, but big life changes that I'm happy about.
I'm glad you made it clear that you weren't a drug addict.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who answer that question are probably drug addicts.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
But I gave him an answer, not a non-answer.
Mm-hmm. So that stuck with me, this idea of
interesting
as
a non-word. And you were talking about their culture.
In the family culture of like outlawing that word. Like everybody jumped on board going, that's illegal. You know, like, that's a non-word. You can't say interesting. So I have myself over the past few months been trying, you know, successfully and non-successfully, trying to catch myself knee-jerk reacting to things I hear and am, you know, where I feel obligated to make a statement, but I don't have anything to say, just saying, well, that's interesting.
Mm.
You know, I've been trying to replace it with specific language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's had some really good moments. Here's one. That just happened the other night. I was talking with a friend and he revealed something that I really connected with about his own life. And I said, well, wait, let me think about how I really feel. And I said, what you're saying there really really speaks to me because I'm connecting it to these moments in my life. And I was able to have, all of a sudden, I have a conversation.
So rich.
Right?
So rich.
Yes. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight, about like having specific language.
Specific language.
Specificity in language, right? In preparation for this episode, I went to the internet and I was like looking up like why do we use specifically the language is interesting.
What'd you find?
Well, there's some good stuff on this forum, which like a language forum. One of the people said, in a language of beautiful adjectives, this is a word that is increasingly meaningless and often is a dead end for conversation, preventing meaningful elaboration.
Done. Conversation ended.
Yeah. So here's an EG, right?
Okay.
How was the movie? Interesting.
End scene.
Yeah, like done. So
in this podcast, you want to end a conversation, use a non-word like interesting.
Yeah, just like if Lois gives us a really great principle, just go, interesting. Done. It's an adjective form of saying, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning, I have no comment about it. It just exists.
I'm only making noises because, I don't know, I don't even know why I'm making noises.
In a way, it's like saying, I'm designating this thing as interesting because I want you to think that I am interesting.
Mm.
But the truth about it is I have nothing to say, and therefore, I am not interesting.
I like that. On the vein, I read, where did I read? I think it was this book. Yeah, it was Tools of Titans.
Okay.
And one of the things from, I don't know who, was saying about conversations, how to have a good conversation. And they said, if you're ever bored in a conversation, it's not because they aren't interesting, it's because you're uninteresting. There is no reason for you to ever be bored in a conversation. Engage.
I agree with that in principle.
But you find yourself bored a lot.
I do.
I know this.
Diagnose me. Like, what does that mean?
Even with me when we're podcasting.
Does that mean, really?
Yeah, I'll notice. I know exactly when you get bored.
Maybe I'm just looking at my notes.
No.
You don't know.
No.
You don't know.
Here's your tell.
What's my tell? Yeah.
Listen back. If I haven't edited it out,
uh-huh.
There's usually a sigh that precedes this blank stare into where you want to be, which is not here.
You're just making that up.
No, I don't
I don't buy this.
We just did it in the previous episode. I can find that sigh because you did it once.
In the previous episode? Yeah. It was my episode. I was hosting.
There was a moment in time where I was talking for, I think, about 3 or 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I lost you for a bit.
Maybe I was just trying to find out where I could steer the episode.
Likely with me.
That just means I wasn't engaged, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard with being a host.
Being like a host is different, right?
You have to control the conversation, direct it to a good place, but at the same time, be engaged.
Yeah, what I notice with you with other people is when you're talking and I'm observing, I see you get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And the boredom comes from when they're talking, you're like, man, this is just a waste of time, what they're talking about, what they're saying,
because mm-hmm.
your mind wants to be elsewhere. It wants to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually why you get bored.
I can tell when people have said a thing that they're saying to me 100 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you can too.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, and to just think that out, like in my mind, like I'm like, you're reciting. You're not having a discussion. You're reciting something to me. I don't like it. I don't like being recited to.
I notice when people recite to me.
Mm-hmm.
And another time that I see where I could start to get bored is when people start talking about things that I already know and probably know deeper than the surface level that they're reciting it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And instead of what I've done, and I read it, I forget where I read it recently, and it was in a book,
mm-hmm.
and it talked about how a way to kind of like win friends or influence others, et cetera, is to let people talk about the things that you already know deeply. Give them that space and then go deep with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, the recital isn't going to be deep enough. And at that point, you get to at that point, you can get to a conversation.
Yes. So if they're reciting on something that I'm interested in, it's quite easy to
navigate deep.
Mm-hmm. Is to let them go and then ask them a probing question, because you know that topic area very well. But when they're talking about like football or like something I have absolutely zero patience for.
Ooh, this is
I'm a boring person, I guess. Dude,
no, this is what's happened to me is I was at a friend's daughter's baptism Saturday.
Okay.
And there's this guy that was talking to me. He's like, "Man, you're going to go watch that, Golden State OKC game?"
Whatever. What's a OKC?
Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Right. And I said, "No." He's like, "You don't watch games, Like, you know about them?" He's like, "You know what's happening?" I said, "No. I don't know. I really don't watch games. I didn't grow up with it. I don't find it as interesting as playing them. You seem extremely excited about it. Tell me why you're excited." And then he just schooled me on why he's excited.
Okay.
And I was excited for him.
That seems legit.
But we were able to get into, I was able to make something that I would otherwise be bored.
Yeah.
Or boring about because I don't know the area.
So what you did is, you're a... How would I describe you? I was gonna say people person, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about. You're somebody who loves people.
Yeah.
Which is different than a people person, right? Yeah. You are. You're a person who cares about other people and you're patient with them and you love people.
I do.
And I could see what you did there in switching the context of the conversation that he wanted to have from the events that were going on in his sports life or whatever to how he feels about some events that are going on. So now he still gets to express his excitement for these sports, but what you're actually talking about is why do you feel this way about this thing? And that's a person thing instead of what's happening in the world of sports.
Yeah.
That's quite clever. I'm much more in tune with that. And maybe I should borrow your trick. This is how to become interested in what somebody says instead of focusing on the event or the action or the fact that they're speaking about.
And I let them educate me because a lot of time people talk about things that I have no clue about or care to even know about. Right. But I let them know. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know anything about that, which is true. I tell them what I know about it. And I said, "It seems like you know a lot more." I was like, "Why should I know this?" And then we have a cool conversation.
That is cool.
It's fun. I've been doing it a lot lately.
Yeah. Digging in
my own way.
There was another really... I almost said it. Let me try again. There was another comment on that forum, the language forum, about the word interesting, which made me excited and helped me to connect a few dots. And I'll read that to you now.
That's a great job.
See? Yeah. It's so much better than saying, there was another really interesting comment on that forum.
Because here's what you skip is if you're talking to someone that is interested in you, right? And is focusing their energy and listening to you, when you would say, and there was something else that was interesting, immediately my mind would go, well, what was interesting about it?
Yeah.
So you just skip that and go straight to the interesting part.
Right. Oh, I also read recently an article about how to have good conversations. And one of the points was not to talk so much about what happened, but how it affected you or what you felt about it or what you thought about the thing that happened. Ah. So instead of saying, on the way here, the taxi cab was late and the rain was got me wet.
Plot.
Right, plot. Instead, what's the...
Analysis.
You should do all my words. Yeah, the analysis. Yeah. Like because it's wet, I feel like I'm in shambles and I'm not ready for this party.
That's so good.
Yeah, and the taxi cab was late, which further makes me kind of feel uneasy about it, getting here behind the time that I promised it would be. So all of a sudden we have so much context for your journey and how you're feeling about it, what you saw and experienced, rather than telling me the fact that the cab was late and the fact that it rained on you.
I like that. It takes a lot of energy.
Sure does. And you might have to talk. You might have to say the cab was late and therefore
give
the analysis. But still, the point is that you're injecting. And also, it makes people more interested.
It does make them more interested.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling a story,
mm-hmm.
Which invokes emotion. I want to hit that point again more. That it, these are meaning. Every moment you have, you're making it have more meaning to you and to those around you when you're around other people.
Yeah.
And it's not habitually how we grew up.
Right. That was what I was going to go for. So you are getting in a new habit.
Yeah.
Of being able to express yourself. And you're teaching yourself a new form of communication, specificity. And also, specificity is a key component in good comedy, just to let you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I can second that. I was at an offsite with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these comedians, stand-up comedians, that were teaching us, and they were talking about specificity. When you find an avenue
mm-hmm.
that strikes a chord, is get more specific.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched a video recently about Conan O'Brien and his kind of the way he works comedy.
Yeah.
If he taps a certain comedic vein and he gets a reaction, he will double down on that. Uh-huh. And the way that he does it is that he will increase the outrageousness of what he's saying by getting more specific about it. So like a quick example is he's like, oh yeah. And I stubbed my toe and then he'll be like, ha ha ha. And he's like, oh, and my toe was throbbing and he'll tell the story about the nail, the 2-foot nail that came out of the side of, and he'll go really specific on the moment.
Yeah.
And if you can name brand names, if you can reference things in your specificity, if you can like pull it, like basically the idea is like the more horizontal you can pull references and be more oddly specific about things, it's going to be a lot more funny to the people who know what you're talking about. Right. Because then they have the aha that they feel clever, that they're aligned with you in your joke and everything.
Treat your joke like a funnel.
Like a funnel.
Funnel up your joke. Go horizontal.
Everybody who listened to the previous episodes know exactly what you're talking about, because that was super specific and horizontal. So let me go back to that comment that I was going to read, the second one.
Yeah.
So
from that form, right?
From that form. So the form is about how interesting is a non-word.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody later on comments that he says, it's pretty much how it is used in American Sign Language too, referring to it being an adjective to say it is what it is.
Right?
It's pretty much how it is in American Sign Language too. You can sign the word interesting to mean, I have understood what you have said. Or, hey, I'm about to say something. So have you known that people use it as an acknowledgement of what you said to move on to something else in the middle of a conversation? Oh, that's interesting. Let me tell you my part of the story.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really like, okay, you're done talking. Now it's my turn.
Interesting. That reminds me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The comment continues on. It rarely means, I find that compelling. But yes, in English, people increasingly use it to mean, I do not know how to describe this. And that's kind of annoying. When somebody says, that's interesting, be like, you don't know how to describe what you're feeling.
Next time someone says interesting, I'll say, describe why that's interesting.
Tell me why. They'll be like, duh. Like, no, I was just using that word to mean that I don't know how to feel about it. So my challenge is to look at the way that you communicate. It doesn't have to be specifically about this word interesting, but try to be honest enough with yourself to identify like either those moments or those habits, the kind of crutches that you use when you're too lazy to express your true self.
Yeah, I like that. I'd like to add on to that is to follow through with his honesty. Right? You're talking about honesty here. Is we grow up communicating with and adding these white lies and everything. We exaggerate moments of or like what has happened.
To make them more interesting.
To make them more interesting. So I'd say like be more honest in your conversations. Honestly listen. honestly respond, and then and then be aware of what Travis was saying. Be aware of how specific you are not being.
Being specific is a form of honesty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like having, like it's even more than being specific in describing the color of the thing, right? It's about being deliberate with your language.
Yeah. I dig it, man.
Yes. Los, one of the sweetest things that we have, the one thing that separates us from the rest of the animals on the earth, is the way that we have nuance and depth in our conversation.
Mm.
So I want to celebrate that. I want to take advantage of it. And I challenge you and our listeners to do the same.
I'm in. Late nights with Travis and Los.
Late nights. Good night, everyone.
Good night. It's cool. I like that. That was a great episode, man.
Thanks.
I don't know what to expect when I read that. Come look at it.
You didn't know what to expect when I sent you the link?
Well, I read it.
Yeah.